Welcome to Pediatric Dentistry from A to T, the podcast that covers all aspects of pediatric dentistry, clinical, business, wellness for dentists, and leading-edge science. It's all right here. And now your host, Dr. Jared Johnson.
Hi, Dr. Jared here, and welcome back to another episode of Pediatric Dentistry from A to T. It's been a busy time for everyone, I think, as we move into the end of the year and we're getting those patients back in our schedule that want to use up their end of year benefits. And it's been to the point where now at my office, it's caused a little bit of stress for me. And I wanted to take some time to go back and look at the factors that can cause burnout for you as a dentist. And I've been doing a little bit of this on Instagram and posting just my thoughts and things. I think in dentistry, we really know what can cause it, but no one has really gone out and identified and looked into factors and then controls that we can implement. And that's what I hope to review. I'm working on a presentation to be able to give to dental societies and dental organizations on this to really dive down deep into what causes burnout in the dental workplace and how we can all be more mentally well at our offices. And the factors are they've been identified by research, but they have to be made dental specific and healthcare specific. And I don't think that's really been dived into too much. There's a lot of resources that are out there. And you look at these wellness resources, which are great, but it's kind of a list and nobody gets into like, how can I specifically help your dental team figure this out in a way that's going to make your office a happy place to work at? You're not going to get stressed out as much. And there's going to be times where you're going to have bad days and there's going to be times where you're going to have great days. But if we can minimize the times that we have bad days, that's going to make your office a more enjoyable place for your team and also for you, and you're going to have a happier and healthier lifestyle and career. So there's a few different factors. I want to focus in on the World Dental Federation. They came up with, they really broke this down well, and that's what I kind of wanted to start off to review and actually break down how you can help yourself, help your team with all of these factors that they've identified at your office. So they've kind of broken it down into three sections. They've got demands, which are things that are put on you that, I mean, that's part of the job. It's a demanding job, dentistry is, and the profession. Controls, you have controls over the demands. You can dictate how that demand is put on you. And let's cover some of that. We've covered a little bit of that on Instagram with your appointment wait list, with your appointment structure and schedule. The support you offer your team, that's going to come from the management. Maybe you don't have control over that. Maybe you're an associate dentist and you just simply can't make those decisions. But as us, as dental practice owners and as DSO owners, we need to have this in our mind because we're going to have more productive team members if they're more mentally well. That has been well studied. And if you look at any of the research out there on mental health, it's if your team is mentally well, they're going to perform better. They've got relationships within the team, within communication, within the working environment, the role that people have at your office, and then communicating change, managing change. A lot of the stuff that we've made at my office, it's change. It's not something that you, it's not easy, but it's something that we have all embraced. There's not been one thing that we have added with these changes in our workload and our appointment schedule that it's been really well accepted. And I think it's going really well. So let's start off with the demands. So demands, number one is the workload. And this is what I was getting to at the opening is you have patients that want to see you. You may have a waiting list. That's been a big one for us as we are now placing patients in March that we're seeing here in November. And what parent wants to come in with their kid in pain or an abscess and you say, well, I can schedule you in March? That's not a good feeling. And then your team members have to have that, be able to have that conversation with the parent to calm them down. That's stressful on them. That's stressful on you as a dentist, knowing that you're not able to be there to take care of them. And we can't be everything to everyone, but we are caring people, we're caring individuals, and we want to make this work for these families. And my honest, it, my consultant said, well, how long are you really, are they really going to wait till March to be seen? And no, we're going to have a change in the schedule or an opportunity where something changes that we're going to be able to move them up and get them in. I think we just had a patient that we scheduled in March. We got them in this week because we had a change in the schedule. We're able to have a ASAP list, a list of patients that are ones that we need to bring up that are in pain that were scheduled in March. But if something changes, we can move and move around our schedule to get them in and get them taken care of. So having that list as a backup can really provide reassurance. And it's going to be something that you can work off of to bring those patients in when you have an opening. Another thing you might want to consider is if you have something that's going to be not take as long, a routine procedure and not as much on the side as far as recare exams, you might be able to squeeze that patient in and make those two instead of an hour operatory appointment. If you're doing that, a half hour and a half hour, and kind of stack them off each other and know that one may have to wait a little bit longer. But that wait list can really wear on you. Some other things, if you have a long wait list and you're busy, it may make sense to raise your fees. By raising your fees, you're going to limit the number of people, if you're out of network, that are going to want to pay that fee, the value for it, supply and demand. And you may want to also consider dropping some insurance or limiting number of new patients. So by doing that, you eliminate some of the workload. We just got rid of some insurance in my office back in September. And if I didn't do that, I am so glad I did. If I didn't do that, we would be in a heck of a lot more trouble than we are right now. And we haven't seen it hit. Our finances have gone up from dropping our lowest paying insurance, because you're going to fill that with higher paying procedures. So consider that as something you may want to do if you're that busy. And like I said, you can't be everything to everyone. We want to help when we can, but you can still choose to help who you want to. We still have some patients that I dropped on the insurance that I'm going to see at no cost. And I can do that because we have all the other people coming in to allow me to give that charity back to those patients that my staff and my team have selected that they want to continue to see. Your appointment schedule and your appointment book structure are also demands. Your schedule can be broken down a lot of ways. One of the things we just implemented was rating our patient's behavior as a code on the schedule, so you can see the behavior of the patient before they are coming in. So you don't want to, if you have a lot of uncooperative kids, you don't want to schedule a ton of those all at once. You want to space them out. Yesterday we just started doing this, so we didn't have time to make a change, but we just had a bunch of five-year-olds that were needing the exams at the end of the day, and it was an exhausting day, and it was just like screaming and crying at 4 o'clock. And I'm like, I just smiled and I was like, this is what we're trying to avoid. You don't want to have that stress at the end of the day. So knowing that those patients are not good, next time we're going to put them in the morning. So now we can make those changes. So we see the kids when they're fresh. We don't see the uncooperative kids at the end of the day. And we can make a better experience for our patients and then make it a better experience for us as providers to be able to handle that stress when we're fresh versus when we've seen 50 kids and you're at the end of the day and you've got someone that should be cooperative at five and they're not. It's just a bad recipe for stress on you. You may also want to structure your appointment book a certain way, save some new patient areas. If you have nowhere to fit new patients in and you have, let's say, someone that wants to see you that's a private pay and they're going to pay out cash fee for service and you don't have anywhere to get them in, that could be a problem for you making these changes and growing your office. So pre-blocking some appointment times that you want to see a new patient at can be a great idea. And then also your emergencies. If you can pre-block those on the schedule and know that I don't want to see an emergency at 11 a.m. or 4 p.m. because by the time I get in and diagnose everything, it's time to go to lunch or it's time to leave the office. And that's not a good thing for the patient, and it's not a good thing for us to be working into our staff and our team's break time, because then they get cranky and they miss out on time to recharge, refresh, get something to eat. So pre-blocking those areas can be very, very useful, as well as looking at, you know, your structure that you have with the schedule. So those are great ways to be able to create work patterns. Teamwork's important as well. This just happened at our office the other day. We had one procedure I ran behind on, and we had another assistant come in that wasn't working on that group of patients that day, came in and helped me when I moved to the next patient to catch up. It was that something was going on without a consent for a parent, and they weren't at the office with their teenage kids. So that was what held us up. So I ran a little bit behind on my operatives, but when that next room needed to be cleaned, everyone helped out and cleaned that room, and I was able to go see the next patient, and I had a different assistant jump in with me that wasn't on that column that day. And that teamwork can really make a difference versus someone not wanting to jump in and we run further behind. Chaotic work patterns, not having a plan, if you don't know where you're supposed to be, you got to have a structure to who's doing what at your office, who's helping with sterilization, who's helping with the cleanings, who's helping with the ops. All those roles should be assigned. If you don't have roles for your team, I would sit down with them and say, what's going to work for our office? Do we want to have a rotation on who does the operatories? Do we want to have someone doing XYZ today, and who's responsible for what? So you know, and your team can be accountable to work together. Working environment, they have PPE. I think that may be more reliance to COVID, but I think we can look at this in a different way. It's just as resources. If you're an associate in an office and you're doing stainless steel crowns and you don't have enough HOW pliers through sterilization, I mean, if you sit down to do a procedure and you don't have enough instruments or enough resources, materials, that's going to cause stress. And you need to have all the proper PPE that you want, but also all the proper materials and equipment, because there's nothing more frustrating than trying to complete a procedure and not having the correct instrument to do so. And your workplace should be able to provide those resources for you to be comfortable to do the dentistry that you're asked and demanded to do. And it's very simple, because if you don't, it's very, very stressful. I've been in a situation where we've been at the hospital and we have enough hand pieces, but they're not getting turned over enough. So I am doing maybe 12 cases and we have 6 hand pieces. There should be enough time to get those through. And when you sit down and a kid's asleep and you don't have a hand piece, there's things that kind of demand can cause stress on you. And to make sure you have those workflows involved to keep things turned over and have the equipment and PPE that you need, it is very, very important. This is a big one at my ventilation and more temperature control. We had some issues. So this last week, our temperature's dropping here in Iowa over coming into the winter, and we have turned on the heater. And we turned on the heater, and then it got hot again. So now this last week, it's been in the 70s, and our air conditioning broke. And it's been like 80 degrees in part of our office, and it's just not comfortable. Everyone's been complaining. We called someone to come out, and our heating guy's down on vacation in Missouri. So he recommended someone else, and they got out here, and we got the problem addressed. But it was causing some people to be uncomfortable. And if you're not comfortable in your working environment, it's very hard for you to be happy and to be able to deliver the care. So keeping your temperature at a comfortable environment for your team, having that availability is really important to make sure that they can perform at a level and they're not too cold or too hot. I'm typically on the side where I'm too cold, so I'm usually wearing a jacket here at the office, but most everyone else gets too hot. So we kind of keep it a little bit cooler, and I take measures other ways to make myself comfortable. You may not be able to control this one. Windows or lighting, being able to see outside, that can bring some relief to some people. When I go to the hospital, we work in the basement, and I will walk in and it's raining in the morning, and I don't know what it's going to be when I walk out, and I walk out and all of a sudden it's sunny. So things can change, but it's kind of a mystery to me when I go and I don't know what I'm going to walk out to and what the environment is. It's a relief when we're able to see that and not be away from that. Support for healthy living. This can be something just as simple as having a refrigerator, having somewhere for them to keep whatever type of food, or if they want to be able to go, you know, for a walk over lunch, being able to be supportive of that. I know there are some organizations that have picked up Blue Zones. That may be something you want to consider for your team, to become a Blue Zone certified office. We currently are not, but I know some offices have done that. And then they break this down to, you know, the controls that an individual may have. That may be something that you, when you delegate a task to a team member, that they have control to be over to do that, how much control the team has. I think this is important. We really involve our team in decisions that we make to make sure everyone's on board and understand why we're making them. And maybe we don't make a decision because we brought it up to the team and they said, oh, here's why this isn't going to work. So having those conversations, it may be a little more difficult of, here's what we want to change. Is this going to be a good thing for everyone? Why are we doing it? And then what are the, I guess, the roadblocks that we may run into when doing this? That can be something that you don't, you may want to make a change and be a positive one, but there's a roadblock that you have a blind spot to because you're not in the situation that those team members are. So we've had situations at my office where we want to make a change and the team goes, nope, that's not going to work because of this. And it's like, oh, I didn't see that. Okay, this isn't going to work. Let's come up with another solution together. You really have control over your workload or how busy you want to be, your schedule. You can always cut back if you need to. Work patterns and working environment. I think the working environment is having a clean office, coming back to that in the morning. Nobody wants to come back and come into a dirty office. That's one of the things our team does at the end of the day is clean the office. So when you come into a nice, fresh environment. You're ready to go. You don't see trash. You're not disgusted by an operatory being left a mess. I think that's really, really important. As far as support goes, having a good environment where they're supported clinically by your providers, you have enough people on your team to do the work that you want to do. There's no point in, if you're short staffed, to be running the schedule you were before. Cut back when you're going to burn people out. You need to have the clinical support team, the number of administrative people on your team to be able to run your office. And it's okay if you don't have that support to dial things back a little bit, make some changes, and you can still dial back and still be profitable. There are ways that we talked about earlier with dropping insurance or limiting new patient. There are ways you can make this work until you can get team members. Encouragement and training availability. I'm always looking for training and how I can get better, taking CEs, looking into journals. I think that is something that you should be able to offer your team members to make sure that they are getting out there and still growing as professionals. That is really important, to not stay the same, but to continue to grow and further your education. Because if I did not do that, there are so many things I'm doing now that I was not taught in dental school. I mean, SDF, Hall crowns, 3D printing. I mean, that's been a journey for me. But that growth is really going to keep me going in my career. And I'm super excited to see what we can do with a lot of this stuff and how we can become better dentists and offer better care for our patients. But if I don't invest the time in taking the CE and the education to further that, I'm not going to grow and I'm going to be left behind. And that's a problem if our whole profession's moving forward and I'm not. Relationships, it's good to have open communication with your team, a positive working environment. You don't want to be a culture where you're constantly blaming someone for something. Mistakes happen. They do. I've made mistakes. And we just had one this week where we laughed about it. It's like, oh, I did that. And it's having that environment where you can accept that something didn't work out and how we can make it better is really important. I can't remember a time where I've ever yelled at a team member or someone that works with me. We have corrective policies. We review things, take time to go over those with our team and do it in a constructive way. And I think that in the last year, we've really had our team members be responsive and they understand why we want things done a certain way. And I've really felt positive about how our team has been moving forward, working together this year. It's been great to see when something doesn't go well that we have someone review that with our team members, and it's done in a way that it isn't, we're not yelling at them, and it comes back and they make the improvements. So that's been great to see that communication come down. And one tip that Kathy Jameson gave to me was to take someone aside to review something, but tell them what you're going to review. And if, let's say, there was something that wasn't done right, you can review that another time, but tell them so they know what to expect and ask them if they have any questions, show understanding, and then move forward. And it's pretty simple that can be done at your office in a way, and you don't even have to do it in a way that's something I want to meet with you. Just tell them, like, hey, can we review this when we have time? Simple as that. We covered this a little bit earlier, but defining and managing roles, everyone having accountability, having a role, we structure in your day, that is part of defining the role. And this comes maybe down to having job descriptions and looking at everyone's job descriptions and what they're assigned to do that day. And all those have to be done. All these things have to be done. But if we don't have our accountability structure, that can mean things don't get done. When things don't get done, it causes frustration. That frustration leads to chaos, and chaos leads to burnout. And then the last one is change here. We have a lot of things that we talked about today that you may want to change at your office. And that's not always going to be easy, because TWADI, that's the way it was always done, is what Raven Comeil says at the ADA. It's like, but what was done yet? The way it's always done isn't going to get us to where we're going. Mel Robbins gives the example of your car windshield. Your car windshield, you're looking forward. You got a rear view mirror, and it's like less than 10% of what you're looking at, what was done in the past. You still need to remember the past. That's why the rear view mirror is there, but you're moving forward. And just because something was always done that way doesn't mean it's right. One example is irreversible pulpitis and molars on kids, on these adult teeth. Just because that always got a root canal or got extracted doesn't mean that was right. I mean, now people are treating that with an MTA pulpotomy. That's not the way it was always done. And if we always look at the past and the way it was always done and keep doing that, we're never going to make the change and move forward and make a better working environment. And it's not like you're going to have to make all these changes in one day. It's a process. It's what changes do we want to make now that can maximize our office's mental health and teamwork? And all these things have to work together. It's not an easy thing to create a working environment like this. And it's something you should aspire to do and talk to your team about, to be able to get them to buy in and explain why we want to make these changes. And I will tell you that once they understand that these changes are going to make their life easier, make their life better, make them happier, make everyone want to come to work, be in an environment that supports mental well-being, they will buy in. And if they're not buying in, then maybe this office is not the right fit for them, because we want people that want to come to work, want to make a positive impact on the oral health of our patients and be in an environment that supports mental well-being and not in an environment where it's not a fun place to work. Because nobody wants to come in and not have someone able to help out and jump in and take over a role. Maybe it's not your job, but maybe that's the job you need to do at that time. I mean, I've stepped in and cleaned rooms. I've done every job at my office. No job is above me. So change is always difficult. I really think that we can dive into this in a little more detail once I get into going through each one of these things a little more detailed individually and really diving down into dental practice and how that ticks, because it's an important topic to me. And we have a lot of change we're trying to make at my office. It's going to take time. It's probably going to take 6 months to a year to really get into the things that I need to do to make it so I don't get burned out. And that's okay. But if I don't make these changes, this is going to be not a good situation, I think, for my team and for me. And I don't want that to happen. I care about each and every one of them. I care about myself and I care about our patients. And the better off we are on our own well-being, the better off our patients will be. And I truly believe that. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to Pediatric Dentistry from A to T. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a future episode. For more information or to connect with Dr. Johnson, visit us online at www.pediatricdentalce.com. For more tips and tricks, follow Pediatric Dental Seminars on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.